Morning. Thank you again, Anne. Well, happy Mother's Day to all of you who are mothers. We appreciate you and are grateful for the opportunity to celebrate this Mother's Day and to give honor, as I prayed, to whom honor is due, especially those of you who are mothers. So I'm going to try to change things up a little bit this morning. What I want to do is to spend a little bit of time in the Word of God in preaching. And then I've asked some of the ladies who have been mothers of our church to come up here afterwards as a part of a panel to kind of speak on mothering and at least answer any questions or to kind of give some practical advice on mothering. Sometimes I feel like so much of it's top down, and now I want to get grassroots and say, okay, how did you do it? And what are some of the things that you found beneficial as you raised your kids? And so we're kind of do a twofold thing this morning as we look at towards honoring our mothers. So a couple of announcements you will see. Next Sunday, Brent, I get my Brents and my Bretts mixed up. This is Brent, all right? Brent Stong and Morgan Stong will be here with us next week, or next Sunday. And he won't be speaking, but he will be sharing about 15 minutes of the morning. And they shared with me, and we need to talk afterwards. They shared with me they'd like to do a luncheon afterwards, but I know you've reserved for your graduation party. So we need to kind of know how we arrange that and work out things properly for that. So we'll talk afterwards about that. But they basically are offering to bring, actually they're going to provide a Sloppy Joe's and kind of a light lunch for anybody that wants to stay afterwards and kind of chit-chat with them. And so we'll have that opportunity next Sunday to be a part of that as they we support them. They do campus outreach ministry, they were at Bradley, and now they're at ISU. And so they're working with college kids. And so they'll be here next week to share a little bit about that. I suppose kind of appropriately on graduation Sunday that we have them come talk about college kids. And that will be a good time for them to be here. And then, men, we're continuing the work nights, all right? I found out Wednesday night didn't work quite as well, all right? tomorrow night, all right, we're going to pick it up again tomorrow night. If you'd like to come and help, you're more than willing to come and help. Last week we didn't have the drywall. This week we do. And so we'll be able to continue working on it. Again, the goal is to try to get as much done as we can and to try to get the drywall in, get it installed, and then get things done. Again, our goal is coming faster and faster upon us. It's only like 6 weeks till the end of June when we're supposed to have the thing done, right? So we're moving. We're trying to get there. This week we'll have the men's work night on Monday night to try to get, again, more drywall things done. So if you have your Bibles with me this morning, would you please take your Bible and turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. I guess it was just last year, I preached through the book of 2 Timothy and really enjoyed it. It was one of the best series that I've done, at least for me anyways. I enjoyed going through it and all the practical aspects that Paul admonishes Timothy concerning. And so this morning what I want to do is to look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. And the highlight, of course, is verse 5. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives also in you. And that's kind of the text upon which we are going to. I'm going to revolve the message this morning. And then, as I said, I'm going to try to do it quickly, and then I'm going to try to bring some ladies up to kind of form a quick ad hoc panel. And I'll be honest with you, you know me, they got informed of that this morning. So they're going to come and be a part of it as well. And so I want you to be aware of that also. So let me pray, and then we're going to look into what it is to know and appreciate moms. Father, thank you this morning for the words you've given to us again. Thank you for the mothers that are here. Lord, we thank you for the impact that they've had upon our lives, and we are grateful for them. And Father, we do pray for all the mothers here and as well, the impact that not only their mothers had upon them, but that they have upon their children. And Lord, what a joy it is to be able to share that this morning and to celebrate it. And so, Father, we do pray this morning that your Spirit would be with us, would direct us, and that, Lord, we'd be encouraged and as well challenged, and that we'll go back home not only grateful for Mom, but as well thankful and being in prayer. And so, Father, be with me now this morning as I bring forth your truth. In the name of Christ Jesus, I pray it in his name. Amen. I want to read, beginning from verse 3 and read down to verse 7. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into the flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Now, I admit to you this morning, as I begin the message, that this is Paul writing to Timothy. It's not a mother writing to her son, but at the same time, as Paul writes these words to his, if we looked up above in verse 1, you see, to his beloved son, Timothy, he called him his dear son, spiritually. But as I look at this passage, what I want to do is to look at the idea of the faith which was first in his grandmother Lois and then in Eunice. This has really been impactful upon me the past probably year as we had the opportunity of doing Lynette's mom's funeral. And I know the impact spiritually that she had upon Lynette and as well her brothers and as well. Then as well, when you think about it, I mean, I've done Marty Meyer's funeral, and then I did, Gloria's funeral, and last week I did Elaine Sheets' funeral, or excuse me, Barb Sheets' funeral. And so lately I've been doing a lot of funerals in the light of the fact of mothers that have passed their faith on to their children and the benefit of that. And so when I come to this passage, I come here not only biblically to come to it, but I come here personally to come to it because of the impact that this has been able to have, seeing the faith being passed on to their children. And as well, I want to provide as well an encouragement to those of you who are mothers here this morning, because you have a tremendous responsibility in the passing on of the faith. God has given that unto you and that responsibility unto you. And this morning, it's not only a time in which we do honor mothers and we pay tribute to them and we thank God for our mothers. That's going to be my first point in just a moment. But as we look at that, but as well to offer as well encouragement to those who are mothers. I recognize that on the one hand, as mothers, you recognize the weight of the responsibility that's there. As you are in charge of and responsible to raise up your children and to be able to instruct them in the things of God. And so I want to be able to encourage you in that. And that's kind of why at the end I want to bring up some, let's just call them more seasoned mothers. Is that a good way to put it? All right. Some more experienced moms to come up and basically allow them to discuss the situation, ask questions, and see how they respond back. There's a sense in which I thought about doing this, and I thought, well, it's Mother's Day. Aren't they supposed to have the day off? You know, aren't we supposed to be honoring them instead of, putting them on a panel and challenging them? But anyways, we want to do that. So let me go quickly. I really want to try to get through my message. And, you know, I really, if I do this, then people say, Don, see, I knew you could finish a message in 10 minutes. But I really want to try to do that because I want to try to give the ladies as much time as I can to be able to respond back to that. So, okay, so I'm going to say 15 minutes. I'll give them 20 minutes to come up and to address it. So, all right. So when I look at the passage of Timothy, as I studied this past week, I want to give you 5 words for mothers, all right? And the first word is, number 1, give thanks for your children. All right. There's a sense in which I recognize in motherhood there are times and days in which you decide that maybe giving thanks kind of stretches things. But we do also remember that Paul admonishes us to give thanks in all circumstances, right? And so if you're supposed to give thanks in all circumstances, then we also should give thanks for all gifts. All right? And so this morning, mothers, my challenge or my encouragement to you is to take time to give thanks for the children that God has given to you. And I put down under here two things because, number one, they're precious. All right? The scriptures, especially the Psalms, talk about the very fact that precious are the children. Jesus saw the children as precious. And so we see this morning the fact that if you've been given the gift of children, which is my next point, I'll get to in a minute, but if you've been given children, to see them as precious, and I say that because we are in a culture in which children today are not seen as precious. If you don't want them, you know that, I guess I'm trying to be gentle, but if you don't want them, you know today that you can abort them. And if you think back to that, because I was in high school in 72 when that was first made legal. And then the argument was the fact that if we allow women to abort their children, there will be no more unwanted children. And we realize that's wrong on two accounts. Number one, no child is ever unwanted. Somebody wants it, if not the mother. And number two, we recognize the fact that that didn't work because we still have children that are in abusive situations. And so I say that this morning is to recognize your children as precious because, secondly, I put down here, not only are they precious, but they're a gift. They're a gift given to you by God. All right? And if there are those days in which you wonder about that, then I would simply say, speak with the women who have experienced the misfortune of infertility, and then you start realizing that, yes, they're a gift. Because we recognize for many women, Mother's Day is not necessarily a happy day. And so we recognize this morning that give thanks for your children because they're precious, they're a gift. Paul says, I thank God whom I serve. All right? And so start with that. Give thanks for your children this morning, Mom. I'm sure your children will give thanks for you, but as well, give thanks for your children because they're precious, they're a gift. Secondly, I put down here, remember your children, because Paul goes on to say, okay, I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears, and then he says, I've been reminded of your sincere faith. And so Paul continually here is talking about the fact, and it's the same word used in different different contexts, but Paul says, I remember, I remind, and I'm recalling. And so Paul is constantly here thinking back of his time with Timothy. And so we need to, again, come back to, and last night as I laid down in bed and I was thinking through my message, I asked Lynette, I says, Lynette, what would be the one things you would remember about children? And she gave me two of the 3 points. So at the end, you can tell me which two she came up with and which one I came up with, all right? Number one, okay, remember that they were given by God. I've already talked about that. They're a gift. Remember your children were given to you by God. Secondly, I put down, remember that it won't last forever. The biblical admonition, these things too shall someday pass, needs to be in the back of every mother's minds because you're like, when will this ever happen? Having 6 kids prior to the Pamper movement, of which the Pampers had started, but we didn't utilize them, my wife was doing diapers for, we figured, probably upwards of 15 to 16 years. Because our kids are all 3 years apart, and we have 6 of them, so you can do the math. It might even be more than 16 years, but it's kind of like, when will I ever be out of diapers? And after 16 years, that too did pass. I think, Jameson, you're out of them now, aren't you? I think it's all okay, right? And we've made it, all right? We've survived. My point is the fact that when you're a pastor's kid, you have to take all kinds of pulpit abuse. My apologies, son. All right? Huh? It all depends. Thank you, dear. It all depends, which means it'll come around again, right? So, all right. All right. So remember that it won't last forever. And as a dad and as a mom, I'm sure Lynette would say the fact that you'll blink and they'll be gone. It'll go so quickly. And you don't realize that until it's happened. All right, all the mothers here who are older are shaking their heads saying, yep. But all the ones who are younger are wondering, will we ever get through it? And remember the fact that you will make it through, it won't last. And then thirdly, remember what's really important to your children as you raise your kids. I would have to say that this probably is the major point we need to emphasize. You can get caught up in, all right, is that sporting event what's really important? Is that schooling test what's really important? You know, is what really is important? Is a clean house really that important? Somehow you have to juggle that, and you have to come to grips with that. You have to balance that. What really is important in raising your children? And as a mother, determine what's really important. And that's why we're going to have a panel of three seasoned mothers up here. And you can challenge them in that question as well. How did you determine that? And what was the things you wrestled with? So, all right, so give thanks for your children. Remember your children. Thirdly, pray for your children. Okay, I constantly remember you in my prayers, Paul said. The idea here is, number one, Paul constantly prayed for him as he remembered him in his prayers. He goes on to say, night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. And so Paul has the whole idea of continually in prayer. God, that Paul was constantly in prayer for his son Timothy. So I'll come back to this. Maybe I'll get to this later. I probably should have just covered it the last way. But let me ask you this question. Shirley, you're back there. Let's see. You're coming up on, boy. Alzheimer kind of helps sometimes, doesn't it? You know, I can't remember, all right? But I knew, though, that this year you'll reach a major milestone. And let me ask you this, children, because you told me the other day your oldest child is, and I won't say the age because it's a lady, but, your oldest child is 70. And when did you stop parenting her? Stopped parenting her. Stopped being her mother. All right. I think you get the point. And I also would say then, if you never stop mothering, you probably never stop praying either for your children. 70 years old and still praying for them. All right? So it's not just praying for them when they scrape their knee or when they come in with a bumblebee sting or the things like that that you would normally think of as a child, but you realize you continue to pray for your children all the way through. So I got to pray for your children for their spiritual growth. That's kind of a given that you'd be praying for your spiritual children, that they would grow up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, that your children would grow spiritually. All right? And for this, I'm going to just use the example again. There needs to be a time in which you spend in prayer, your children seeing you in prayer. Whether you're praying at a supper table, whether you're praying when they scrape their knee because they come in off the bicycle, let's pray for it. Or whether it's bedtime, you spend time in prayer for them. But let me just challenge you that there needs to be some time in which you spend in prayer with your children. Right? That they see that and they experience that. I'll just use my wife as the example. I know that every night before they went to bed, she prayed with her children. She prayed with her kids. And she would ask them many times, I think this was later on or was it earlier, dear? She would ask them, what was a blessing that you saw today? So we can thank God for that. And then as well, what can we pray for? But every night before you go to bed, before you tuck them in, all right? At least for her, that was the thing that she did. She spent time in prayer for them. And so I do believe the fact that if you're going to develop spiritual growth in your children, you need to be in prayer for them. All right. Secondly, I put down here, for their obstacles and their opportunities. This is the realization that they're obstacles. You're always praying for something that came up with them. Just as you'll see when we get to the prayer list, we got a phone call yesterday, or was it Friday, Jolene? Friday? Okay. That Jason had called and basically found out that on Friday, I don't know what he was doing, but he tore his, we think he ruptured his bicep tendon. Okay, lifting something or doing something. In other words, he has to go to the doctor today because he went 2 days without it. And Joylyn's like, oh, that's going to curl up. And if you don't get surgery done, you're going to be in big trouble, okay? So my point is we've got something to pray for now, okay? We're praying for that obstacle. But at the same time, you also pray for opportunities. You know, that job interview that you have, the college that you're applying for, the test that's coming up. You know, this is coming up to finals week, I guess, for at least high school kids. But, you know, the graduation that's going to happen. So you're always praying for the obstacles and the opportunities that your children face. And lastly, I put down here, pray for their future spouse. Okay? You can't start too young. Pray that they will know the Lord, that they will be able to be in a equally yoked relationship that will bring honor and glory to God as they do that. Pray for them because they're going to become your future in-law. So there's benefits as well in that. So do pray for your children. And those are the things, at least, that I put down as you pray for them. As Paul says, I constantly pray for you. All right, number four. Again, I'm going to try to get through it. Invest in your children. Okay. Paul goes on to say, I remind you to fan into flames the gift that you have. I'll get to this more when I lay down my hands to you. And as well, I thought of the investment of the fact that recalling your tears. Now, when you think of Timothy, you would ask the question, Paul doesn't say it, what were Timothy's tears for? Were they tears of sorrow? Were they tears of joy? Were they tears of excitement? What was the tears that Timothy had? And Paul doesn't explain it, but I do believe he goes on to say, when I laid my hands on you and fanned it into flame again, the gift that you had. And so I do believe that for me personally, I'm looking at it as it's the tears that Timothy shed when Paul laid his hands on him and left and ordained him into the ministry. But we do see here that Paul was reminded of the tears that Timothy had. And then he says, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. And so I have invest in your children. Of course, number one, invest what? Time. You can't be a mother without investing time. It's a 24/7, 365-day-a-year job. And you know you're going to invest time. And that time will, and again, I use the word invest, but I mean in the sense that that time that you invest in your children will pay off in dividends as later on your children grow up and you see that, all right? Invest time in your children. Secondly, I put down here, invest emotions. Boy, it's tough, all right? Sometimes you want to kill them, sometimes you can't help but love them, all right? And so we recognize the fact that, and again, Paul talks about tears here, so I'm thinking invest in your emotions with your children as well as they see you and know the love that you have for them and as you share with them how much you love them. And then I put down invest in your children, your care. And this is everything from changing their diaper to kissing their boo-boos to praying for them as they grow up and go off into school and all the care that you give to them. Invest wisely in your children. And then number five, prepare your children. Okay, prepare your children. And here I'm talking about prepare your children to be released. There is a sense in which, as a parent, there will come a time when you will release your child, when you will let go and let them go on their own, right? And that can be a traumatic time. You've raised them for 18 or 19 or 25, whatever years that you've had your opportunity to raise them. And then now you're releasing them and letting them go. And so constantly raise your children with the idea that someday you're going to release them. And so for that, I put down, prepare your children, first of all, with confidence. Paul says, I want to remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on your hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power and of love and of self-discipline. And so we see here that Paul says, Timothy, remember the gift that God's given to you and fan it into flames and don't be timid. So prepare your children with confidence. You know this comes, I believe, with a balancing of two things. One is a balancing of the constant affirmation that they need to be confident. You can do this. You can handle this. You can take care of this. You'll do this. You'll make it. Along with a constant, on the other side, the constant discipline necessary. Paul talks about self-discipline here, of love and self-discipline. And there's a sense in which today I believe that this world in which we live in sees discipline as harsh and unnecessary and something which, just love your kids, don't discipline them. And the Bible is very clear that to love your kids, you do discipline them. For God disciplines those whom he loves, the scripture talks about. And so understand the fact that in order for them to grow up with confidence, they have to be bound between those two fences, so to speak. The one of your constant affirmation, but also of your discipline. So that they know the limits, that you are able to raise them to be confident in their understanding of that which is right, and that which is wrong, and that which is true, and that which is false. And then again, I put down here, prepare your children for release, that you can let them go. It's a difficult thing to do, but you know that you will do that. If it's a daughter, you will someday hand her over possibly to another man, and you will release her to him. Or if it's a child that goes off onto college and begins their own life and moves away and does their own thing, you will release them eventually. And so you need to prepare your children to be released. Paul talks about that here. The reason I remind you is to fan the flames as a gift and not to have a spirit of timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline, as Paul kind of admonishes Timothy in these areas. So we see here, finally, then the last word I would say is prepare your children for their release out into the world, both spiritually as well as with confidence. So, all right, now what I'm going to do is bring some chairs up here, all right? And I've asked, all my ladies have gone, all right? So we need to go back. And Gary, you want to go get Ann and see if she'd be willing to do it? I know tell her that if she doesn't mind, she can bring the children's church kids back in here, unless she's got other things happening. I asked her to do it. I don't know if she really took me seriously, and I recognize she's doing children's church. So Mary, come on up. Lynette, come on up. Just three, I guess. Unless another one wants to join them, I'm more than happy to have somebody else come. And is there anybody else that wants to come up and give give your challenge for it? What's that? Any one of them would. Any one of them. Yes, we'll give you microphones. There you go. For right now, we'll put it in between you, and we'll see what happens. And I don't know what Gary and Ann's going to be able to do. I did ask Ann to do it, but I know she has children's church. And we'll see how that goes as well. So let me see. What do I... Let me start it out with. Okay, you heard the 5 points that I gave, and you might not be able to remember them. Maybe I can't even remember them this morning. But when you think of parenting, what advice would you give to the mothers that are coming up? Can you think of something?
I think it's different for everybody. Okay. Parenting is. I mean, you have your whole background. I mean, I was raised with grandmothers that were great examples to me, and especially my mom. And I recently just found out after my mom had passed that she lived her life without sharing her disappointment in something that happened in her life. She lost her sister when she was 6, and my grandparents blamed her for her death. So I wish I had known that, but my mom kept that from us as far as her guilt. But she was a fabulous mom. She made everything so much fun, and I never knew there were issues in the family. Maybe I didn't know a lot of things. I was oblivious to it. But she was such a great example to me, so that carried over some of the goofiness. My mom was telling the kids this morning, my mom would make games of everything. Yeah. If she wanted something done, she'd say, okay, these are all in a jar. You all draw one out. And that's what you get to do. Or, you know, I was telling them, well, I haven't done this one. I haven't paid you to brush my hair. And my mom would say, okay, it's your turn. I'll pay you a quarter to brush my hair. So, you know, just crazy little things like that. She gave great examples for not doing things. When I grew up, my dad was a farmer and could never figure out why she wouldn't learn to milk the cows. And she said, nope, not doing that. I drive tractor. I do all those things. So I thought I was outside more than I was inside as a kid. And I thought I'll help my dad out here and learn how to milk cows. I found out he was in the field one day and he said, you know what? Go home and you can start milking. He didn't show up the entire time. So That's why you didn't learn to do some of those things. But I'd say she impacted my life in a way, godly way, to pass that on to my kids. So that's where most of my prayer time came. Oh, Anne, she just had it right though.
Well, I don't have anything very profound to say. I think Don said maybe something that what I enjoyed at being a mother. So that's just my thought. I just enjoyed watching every age of the kids. You know, like sometimes they'd say, "Oh boy, you better." They're so cute when they're babies. You better enjoy that. But I remember every age was a joy. Whether they were 1 or 5 or 11, they had new things they were doing and new ways you could get to know the children. So I just remember really enjoying that. And I'm sure all mothers are the same that way. But in terms of what other things, I think I enjoyed the things everybody else does, watching them do their schoolwork and you know, concentrating hard on that and working on it. It was so enjoyable to see the accomplishments from good studying and all of the sports and music things they were involved with. So that's just what I enjoyed with being a mother.
Oh, I have to watch what I say since I have one sitting here. Actually, I think you should have them up here asking them what they think their mother did good, as a good job. I think having, like Lynette said, having a mom that was a good example. And my mom was a very good example, I thought. She raised 6 of the probably wildest children you could ever imagine. So, especially my brother. But
so there were 7 altogether? You're the
6. No. 6 of us. No, there were 6 of us. And then I had I was very fortunate also to have a godly mother-in-law. My mother-in-law was superb. And I think both of them helping us raise our children was great. And everything you said today, praying for your children, when they grow up and they become adults, I think you need to pray for them even more because of the challenges that they give you as adults. And pray for their spouses because, again, I've been very fortunate to have all 3 of my children marry Christian spouses. And now I am very fortunate to have 9 grandchildren that are all being raised in the Lord.
All right. We talked about... remember what's important. Okay? Remember what's important was one of my... And I'm sorry you weren't here to be able to be part of it. But when you look back on your raising of your children, what would you say was probably the most important thing that you were able to maybe invest in their lives? We use that phrase as well. Or one of the most important things that where you had to make a decision, do this or this. And you decided, no, this is what's really important. All right, can you think of anything?
I guess 1 would be that impact that Christ needs to have on their life. And it's not something that you can pass on without having that yourself. I mean, there were days, especially in homeschooling, where you're like, oh, Bible. But then I'd be, no, Bible is 1. The other stuff is going to have to take 2nd place to it. So, and we always started with Bible, but... Sometimes we didn't get the other stuff done, but they survived. So the impact of Christ praying for your kids has to be 1. I mean, that's the comfort that you take when things don't go the way you think they should. But the Lord is always faithful to come through. Maybe it's not the way you wanted it, but, you know, he still walks you through it, walks your child through it. And that's... I think has to be 1.
I agree too.
Let's see.
All right, I'm willing to open up for questions as well. All right, if anybody else has questions for them on the panel, all right, Shirley has one. Okay. Well, we got a microphone here because we're recording it. That way we can make sure everybody gets recorded. Go, I'll just repeat it, Tyler. Go ahead, Shirley. What do you got? Yeah, what do you do when your baby is 61 years old, huh? All right. I could ask that question, but I won't put him on the spot in the sense that what was something maybe that you did that you regretted afterwards that you did as a parent. But let me ask you this question. Can you share an experience, a time in which you really had to pray for your kids? I mean, we talked about praying for them. I know I can think of a couple of them, dear, but think of a time in which you remember this was a time in which I had to really pray, whether it was a sickness or whether it was a career thing or whether it was a spiritual moment or whatever it was. What was a time in which you really had to really put your knees to the ground and pray for your kids?
No, I just remember when Adam was high school and college. Sorry, Adam, you're here. But it was a time when he was going through some things at college. It was very, very hard for him. He was ill. But I remember it was the one time when, you know, we couldn't fix it ourselves. Mm-hmm. We didn't know how to fix it.
Yeah.
So I remember praying to God a lot, knowing that, well, I have no other ideas of what to do. I can fix it on my own. So it was a good time because it, called upon God when we needed him, and the answer didn't come immediately, but it did come. And so it was actually one of those bad times that turns into a blessing.
A blessing time and a growing time, yeah. Mm-hmm. But you do. And there are times which as a parent, you just, I don't know what to do. So do you have one, Lynette, or are you going to pass it to Mary?
Do you have one?
Yeah. I would say the one time that I can remember, there was probably a lot of them, but the most recent one probably was a few years ago when I had all four of the children, my children, in the Middle East at the same time. Chris and Ann were in Kuwait. Greg and Jeff were either in Iraq or Afghanistan at the time. And it was like, oh my gosh. I mean, because a couple of them were getting ready to come home and the other two had just gone. And it was like, for about a month and a half, we had all four of them over there.
Okay.
And it was, yeah, that was probably a kind of a tense time for us.
Well, I guess recently, just watching Jennifer struggle through wanting another child and knowing there's nothing you can do. So you just, I always say to him, once again, we're left with prayer. So just pray. And then I do kind of, when things go on, I kind of text them and say, please pray for this. You know, I've got my set of prayer warriors, you know, going as far as when my mom was dying, I had come home to do Christmas with our immediate family. And my sister-in-law texted when we got to Pontiac and said, the nurse was in, your mom doesn't have long. So I'm texting them going, please pray I make it back for my sake. My mom doesn't, you know, she's not going to know, but please pray for my sake. So, and then you get a little bleep back, say praying. So that's an encouragement.
Okay. All right. Any other questions?
We're not perfect moms anyway. I'm not. I have a lot of ways
I should
have
said
to
that.
Go.
I said seasons,
oh,
but
boy.
I did. Oh, okay. Here we go. Janine's got one.
I think she wants you to
Here we go. So it's on the recording, Janine.
What do you do when your child starts to walk away from the Lord?
That is down on the knees. I mean, there's time. It's easy for me to pray sometimes, just comfortable prayer. But when something is really going, and my mom has impacted that in my life. She said, I was on my knees today asking for forgiveness because my dad was a challenge, but she was such a godly woman that she took such great care of him. But she'd say, I was on my knees because I said something to your dad that I shouldn't have said. And so that would be on my knees when, and I would call friends and because you're not going to be the one probably to bring them back to the Lord. It's going to be somebody else. Pray for godly people in their life. Pray that, prayer. I mean, you can try to arrange things with other people, but I found out that the Lord is the one that has to do the arranging. I can't be the one in control of those things. God has to be the one that orchestrates drawing them back to him. I can live my life as a godly life and be an example, but sorry.
No. Oh, I totally agree because I haven't experienced that with my children, but I do with my family. And a lot of times your family doesn't want to hear about your faith. So I always pray that God will put someone else in front of them that will convict them so that they need that. And I think you helped a lot when you did my parents, both of my parents' funerals, because I had some of my nephews and nieces come and say, you know, I think maybe I need to think about going to church or about Jesus. But they didn't want to hear it from me, although it hasn't changed much, but.
Well, I think everybody knows this, but we probably need to realize that there may be a time between when your prayers are going and when something might change. And we've seen a lot of people in our church with spouses who are not believers, but they've been praying right along for years. But if we can remember that God's timing is, you know, time isn't the same to him as it is to us, that it may be years, but we can't give up our hope and our praying over all that time, not thinking that he didn't answer or he's not going to act. So,
all right, any other questions? Otherwise, I got one final one, and we're going to close it up here. Yes, Shirley. Yeah. Yep. Unfortunately, that can be the way we do it. Final question, and that is the question. I ended the message with, prepare your kids to release them. Right? What would be a way in which you feel like you were able to prepare your child to be released, and how did you let go, right, without wanting to keep your fingers on the bow, so to speak?
Gradual procedure. It's not going to be like, well, today you can go and do your thing. I think you take steps, you know, like you allow them to do certain things that, you know, in your own understanding of what you think, okay, they're capable of this or they're capable of that. And like when Jason moved to Nashville, he was far away, and I was so thankful when he got married because now he has somebody to come home to, and we love her. But so Yeah, and I'm sure these guys would probably say, Mom, you're way too much in our life, because they have a roommate, and she's probably going, man, your parents are here all the time. So that part I haven't done so well. I mean, Jason forced me to, and Jennifer, because they're not by me. But, yeah, I think it's a gradual thing that still a lot of prayer.
I didn't have a choice. Mine all flew the coop. Probably once they went to college. There wasn't a lot of them. Now we pray that they come home to see us once in a while.
Well, I think everybody probably knows this too, but it's, for me, you wanted to trust your kids, you know, no matter what. Maybe they hadn't been through it before. You want to trust their judgment. So I always kind of said, I do trust them. I trust them to do anything until they've shown that they aren't worthy of that trust, you know, but let the reins out until they show that they're, you know, really messing up. Now, truth is, we probably don't know all the, we don't know all the inside stories, but rather than saying, no, I'm not, you know, I don't think you're ready, no, 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 I think it's better to let them have their freedom until they show that they're not capable of handling it.
Good. All right, anybody else? Thank you, ladies. Again, not perfect moms, just seasoned moms. How'd you help us out? Well seasoned. And actually, next Mother's Day, I might even think about it and do it again, because I thought I was going to turn to the passage in Titus, which talks about older women teach the younger women. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a way we can practice that. We can let the older women get on and help teach the younger women some things about life. And here's a couple things, though, that I see different. I've already preached my message, but there's a sense in which all of these ladies, or at least most of them, talked about their mother because their mothers were still in part of their lives, even in the raising of grandkids. And today, with the mobility of society, that's not as much there. As much as Lynette likes to help with Luke, Luke's in Chicago, 3 hours away, and if Jason and Ellen ever have children, or when they have children, whatever the situation is, you know, they're going to be in Nashville, and it's going to be a ways away. And so there's a sense in which today it's harder. And the other thing is those mothers who didn't necessarily have a spiritual mother that inputted into them can add difficulty to it as well. And so there's all these issues that are there. So, Dennis. Which, tell Marcy she dodged the bullet because she was on my list.
You don't have to be someone's biological mother to have a huge impact on them. Because this lady sitting right here, had a huge impact on me spiritually. Yeah. She's not my biological mom, but yet that influence can go beyond
right.
Your own children.
Yep.
And you don't have to, you know. So women in general have that way to do that.
And yeah.
Whether you're mom or just mom.
Yep.
You can have any influence.
Yep. So. All right.